Hi everyone, welcome to Being Youthful. I am Kim Beegler, the owner of Youthful Fiber Farm and Mill, sitting here in the mill in Halsey, Oregon. And if you're new, welcome. I'll be talking about wool. And if you're returning, thank you for coming back to listen to me talk about wool. Okay, I own a wool mill. I've got sheep. We are grass seed farmers. I've also got lots of other animals. And I just talk about all those things. So welcome, welcome. And please don't forget to subscribe. Tell your friends, comment, like, do all the things wherever you're watching or listening. This episode, I have got some mill videos of me carting up some stuff in the back. I wanted to get finally to talking about e-spinners or electric spinners for hand spinning, whether you're a beginner or you're where I'm at or you're further than where I'm at. And then I was going to talk a little bit about Prineville, which is one of the fibers. You'll see it being carted up. And yeah, just some fun stuff. So, okay, let's just get started. Before I forget, I wanted to make sure that people that were listening to last episode understood that what I was showing when I was talking about moths and the little bits that I was showing, I was showing their casings. And I wrote in the correction, but if you're listening, if you're doing the audio only version, you would not realize that. I was not actually showing the larvae, which I kept saying. I was showing the casings. So the larvae are the actual little wormy bugs that eat your fiber. The casings are what they live in, basically, which is gross. It's gross. One time I have seen a casing with a live larvae and y'all, ugh. Okay. Anyway, hopefully never again. Hopefully never again. I'd rather see the very, very ancient vintage moth casings or nothing. There we go. Okay. So we all understand that. Moths are bad. Wool moths are bad. Casings, if you see them, are bad. Larvae, obviously, if you see active little wormies, not good. Okay, so let's talk about, where should we start, you all? Let's talk about what I'm working on. Okay, let's just start there. Because here comes Wish. Because I didn't want you to think that I was just not doing anything on my own time, and I apologize if it's loud. They're moving the grass seed company across the street from us is moving. It's a warehouse and it's like a big thing for them to move. So, okay, I have been spinning. So I showed you that green skein last week, which is done. Okay, are you all ready for this? Because, so this is the East Frisian. It's mint chip. There's like two or three of these left in like 4 ounces, and she's gonna try to scratch on me with my pretty, pretty hand spun sweater. Oop, I just hit the microphone. So, look at this beauty. So I took some of this home, which happens a lot. I'll just take like little bits of it home and, started spinning it. And oh my gosh. So I don't know if I said this in the last one or if I said it on social media, but if you are looking to practice your long draw or you just love spinning long draw, this fiber, it's East Frisian cross. The brown eye is the natural, the green is, I think I did talk about it the last time, huh? Because I think I showed you the bobbin and I said I was going to chain ply it. Here it is. Oh my gosh. So I did chain ply it and I think I have a little video of that. So I'll pop that in there because I know everybody loves to see a little chain plying action, right? So I was not really mindful about how I chain plied it. But you can see there's definite pops where the green saturated a little bit more, the brown saturated a little bit more. It's so lovely. And this is pretty hefty. I wasn't messing around. So it's a 3-ply. And then I was not trying to spin my thinnest yarn or anything because I was just having fun cranking. If you just want a super fun fiber to spin, this East Frisian, just run and grab up the rest of it because I love it. Isn't it beautiful? And it's nice and squishy. I did not, you know, I spun it. I'm going to say this is at least a worsted weight. It probably will. I haven't blocked it or soaked it yet, but I'm guessing it's going to poof out because we all know that. Always soak your hand spun after you finish it. The other thing I was excited about was I'll take it out. I have, so keeping in mind that I haven't soaked it, let me kind of give it a quick, but you can see for chain plying, there's not a lot of extra twist in this. Now, some people will say that when you take your yarn off your nitty knotty, your yarn should just drape perfectly and not have this twist to it. I don't subscribe to that, whether I'm chain plying or just doing a two or three ply. I think it's perfectly fine for there to be a little bit of life in your yarn. Now, when you soak it, some of that is going to balance out more, right? Because soaking balances out all the things that we've done to the yarn. But even if you've got one little, you know, like, it's fine. It's your yarn, first off. Let's not forget that. And it's okay for it to have a little bit of life. So for chain plying, it is very easy to overply in chain plying. And this is, I'm very happy with how I chain plied this. So keep that in mind when you're chain plying, you want to really reduce the amount. Like if you are treadling or counting, which when in chain plying, especially I do to keep myself on track, this was a very minimal ply, a very minimal ply. I think I was counting to maybe three. Or treadling three times, basically. That's the rhythm. So there you go. And I will try not to forget to add in that video of me doing the chain ply. There is a little bit of this left. I have no idea what I'm gonna do this. I actually have a little bit more to ply, but it's just glorious. It was just, like I said, it was fun. I stayed up so late one night, just long drawing away on that. So there you go. Okay, other thing I'm working on, I'm actually working on all sorts of things because I've been getting really carried away, and probably next time I will share with you some of my hand carding stuff, but I am, here's drop spindle number one. So Isabelle in France, if you're watching, this is some of the wool you sent me, which I'm going to share, I think in the next one. I think the next episode, I'm gonna share what Isabelle sent me. And also how I've been slowly trying to work it up, which I decided, I think I'm gonna drop spindle it. My other option is for many of you, and I'll show it here in a minute before I get off. I recently, within the last year, I purchased an F. Young vintage spinning wheel, very vintage, antique. I think it's 1800s. It still spins. I thought that this could be a fun, you'll see it next week, but, it would be really fun to hand card up everything that Isabelle sent me and maybe do a project on that wheel specific. I would like either way to do a specific job on that wheel. I may not have the patience because I kind of want to work on this now. And I realized, oh wait, I have to send the bobbin off on that wheel because I only have one. So it will be going to Bobbin Boy. If you all don't know Bobbin Boy and your hand spinners, log that name into your brain, because if you ever come across an antique wheel or a wheel that needs fixing, Bobbin Boy is the guy in this country who will do that. Obviously, he'll do other countries also, but I will send the bobbin into him and he'll make more bobbins for me. He does everything. He does flyer repair, building things, so Bobbin Boy. He's on Facebook, which I'm sure leads to his website. Okay, so this is a very rough little rolag I made here on the hand cards, but I just was kind of playing with what Isabelle said. Thank you, Isabelle. You'll get to watch it get processed. But so I'm hand spinning that, and this is, oh gosh, why am I forgetting? I'll put it in the show notes, but this is that bobbin that I showed you, or this drop spindle that I showed you recently, spacing the name, that has the bobbins. So this just slides off and you can pop the next bobbin on. Pretty awesome. I'm also drop spindling this bad girl. And this drop spindle my husband gave me as a gift. He got it from Woolery. I don't think they have them anymore, but it's a handmade one that they highly recommended for beginners when you're drop spindling. So this is that. Okay, this is the fiber. Hope you can catch that it's got a little bit of luster to it. So this is Rommeldale CVM and Cuddlebug, my Pygora goat. So I made these rolags on my blending board, and I'm gonna do a video. I think next week, I'll have one that's like just the different carding things I have been doing not at the mill. And if there's carding at the mill, I'll show that too. But this is Cuddlebug and some Rommeldale. And the Rommeldale was already, I had carded it up years ago. I put it into some bit, here's the story. Somebody brought me, a customer when I was doing custom processing back in the day, she brought me more Kvyat than any of us will ever see. likely see in one place in our lives. So much Kvyat that she had been saving up for years. And she was part of a particular reservation where apparently there were muskox. And so it was being collected for her. And then anyway, so it came into me and needed dehairing back when I used to do that. And the husband was very thoughtful, and thank goodness, though, even though the smell still haunts me, he put a lot of mothballs in with the fiber to keep the moths away, which is great because Kvyat, as we all know, is very expensive. Or if you don't know, it's incredibly expensive, especially now. Anyway, the bins, the plastic tubs I had it stored in, the mothball smell never went away. The fiber airs out really well. So I don't know why I didn't sell this Romeldale. I guess because I wanted to work with it myself. But anyway, that's what this is. I used it on my blending board. So Cuddlebug is adding a layer of, he's adding some extra softness. So Romeldale doesn't generally need that because it's a fine wool. But he also is adding that luster. And Cuddlebug is a pike or a goat for all of you who are wondering. So you can see that. Anyway, so that's something else that I've been working on in small bits. Okay, my faucet. Somebody asked at Mill Day the other day, how's your faucet going? And I was like, I had just picked it up, and here we go. Here is my faucet. This is hand-spun Romeldale. Speaking of Romeldale, here is where we're at. So, I am making progress. Isn't she beautiful? Just love it. So, our sleeves are, on waste yarn. So we've got the sleeves there, and it's just, this is a short sleeve, so it's just a little ribbed cuff there. So that's pretty piece of cake on those. And now you can see I've gone back into a different color here on the bottom, and I know a whole new thing is happening. I think we do a repeat of this pattern, and then we go onward. So that's where we're at. Romeldale, I can't tell you. I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. It's so lightweight. It's so soft. I would choose it over Merino any day. I'm not going to lie. Here's what I have left. The dark. I don't think I need too much more. We hope. And then I've got tons of this color, which there's a big chunk of the sweater that's in this color. And then just a reminder, somewhere in here is my final. Here's my final. Oh no, sorry. It's already on here. We've already added it to the point. Sorry. Okay. So there is my faucet. I love it. So there we go. That is what, among other things that I have been working on personally at the mill. Let's see what's happening at the mill. I've got videos of this, but fresh off the Carter. Here we go. There's going to be some lovely sheen to that. So this is Prineville, which for those of you that are new, this is a fiber that I make. I used to make yarn in it, but I'm not making yarn anymore. But I had not done this color in quite a while. I was out. So I call this Just a Touch. It is natural color. So it's just white border Leicester wool grown. This batch was grown in very far out Eastern Oregon, and it's got natural colored gray mohair. Border Leicester wool mohair. I designed this fiber blend to be for a sock yarn. Okay, I wanted to show you a sock that I had knit out of. This is the commercially spun yarn that's in the basically pretty close to this colorway, right? They're always going to be a little different because of the natural colors. So there's that. Hopefully you can get a good reading on that. Obviously that was dyed up. I spun that. That was a 3-ply, kind of a heavy fingering weight. So one option for spinning it, if you want to spin socks, it is fabulous for that because the mohair adds a natural strength to it. So that's why I came up with this blend. Border Leicester is a pretty solid wool, strong is what I mean by that. And the mohair adds strength, among other things. So it's a great substitute for a synthetic sock that you might find. Okay, here's something else I made. This was a 2-ply And it, I should show it because it looks kind of weird, right? If you haven't seen me wear this, I wear this all winter. There it is, worn. So this was a 2-ply, same fiber, but in a darker color. There is some darker color up on the website too. 2-ply, and it's about a worsted weight. Easy to spin. I don't remember the name of this. And the sock pattern, I'm forgetting at this moment too. So I'm going to put both of those in the show notes in case you are interested in either this beautiful lace. Let me just show you. Okay. Anyway, so if you are looking for ideas for spinning this roving, you can spin it as a heavier weight or you can spin it as a thinner weight and use it for socks. I also do have socks that I did a 2-ply heavier weight yarn and I made socks out of years ago. And they're pretty tough, even though they're only a 2-ply. So there's some options for the Prineville. And I will tell you that the reason I ended up doing this is because I did a custom order for a friend. Somehow she knows who she is. I even half delivered it to her. We met halfway on the road and did a wool exchange. So I was doing hers and hers was a little bit darker, but then in the process of doing hers, I found some white Borlester that was already washed and I was like, okay, I'm supposed to be doing my own fiber, but that is next. Next for what's at the mill. So Prineville, Borlester wool, mohair, go check it out. If you're interested, some samples. I forgot. I do have some videos just of me starting to clean the Carter because after I finished all that, I did a big cleaning on the Carter. And next up, darn it, I'm going to do it today, is my fiber for me, which is the South Country Cheviot. I just have some samples of it here. So you can see there's the South Country. Hopefully you can see the beautiful, look at that crimp in there. God, that was like seriously wool porn. I apologize. So South Country Cheviot, this is what I got at Maryland Sheep and Wool, which by the way was in May, and it's now almost October and I haven't even been able to card it up yet. So this is what's happening next, hopefully today, and there will be a video in this episode. My top level Patreon subscribers, they get little extra special somethings in the mail as it arises, just as I think of something. So you all are getting a little bit of this from my fleece. If there's any left after that, then I will put it up for sale. I'm keeping a fair amount of it obviously for myself, but I don't think I need all like 5 pounds or whatever I ended up with. So keep an eye out for that. Okay, that's enough of what's going on at the mill. I'll show you those videos in a minute. Quickly, there is also a meetup this Saturday on Patreon. So if you are not in my community on Patreon, please feel free to jump over there, check it out. In the show notes, you can find a link and maybe join. We have a Zoom meetup once a month. There's different levels. You get this ad-free every week, regardless of what level you're at, the Zoom session. Anyway, so check it out. It is a way to help support what I do here and all the other places that I am trying to get information out about hand spinning and wool. So appreciated my patrons that are there. You all are appreciated and I hope I get to see you on Saturday. Okay, very quickly, I'm going to talk about e-spinners and then we're going to go to videos because the e-spinning video is actually a separate video. So e-spinners. The top one, so you all, I still would not classify myself as an e-spinner person. The main ones that you know of, that you probably have heard of, are the Hansen, which is a beautiful wood-crafted one, the Ashford, which is also wood, the Ashford e-spinner. There is Dreaming Robots, which has a small model, which you will see. I have a Nano, which is a little mini one. They also have a bigger version. I do not have that to show you, but it is an option. And there is the Daedalus. Y'all, for those of you that were at Mill Day, and I think I might have said it right, Daedalus. I am horrible. So the Daedalus, here's where I'm at. The Daedalus, if I was going to recommend for a new hand spinner, that would be the one I would recommend. Because the product, the what it's made of is industrial strength. That's one of the biggest things I love about it, is that the materials that it's made of are just hard to break. There are little pieces or the bobbins that can be broken, but those are the least expensive parts of a spinning wheel. But the bulk of that spinning wheel is intense, and I think if I was going to purchase one, that would be the brand I'd go with. Daedalus. I just want to read, because yes, I did have to look it up so that the computer could say the word for me, because for whatever reason, I can't get it stuck in my head. But I thought it was funny that the word means a craftsman considered the inventor of carpentry, who is said to have built the labyrinth for Minos, king of Crete. Minos imprisoned him and his son Icarus, but they escaped using wings, which Daedalus made and fastened with wax. Icarus, however, here's the kicker, flew too near the sun and was killed. So there you go. That's where the name comes from. So that would be my top recommendation for an e-spinner for a beginner. If I was going to buy one, that would be the one. And there are different sizes. I forget which one I'm showing you. It is a friend. It's the very friend whose fiber I did that custom processing for. I know that there are a lot of people come to the mill and they have the Ashford e-spinner. So anyway, lots of people love all those. And I love if you love it. I'm not trying to say this one is better than those. This is what I have worked with. And that's the reason that I really like this one, is that the materials are so industrial. The Dreaming Robots one, the Nano 2, is a mini one. So that's the one I have. They have a bigger version. I would definitely not recommend it for beginners. I think it's too small. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. It is very inexpensive. It's also very small. It's very lightweight. It is a little bit finicky. And if you don't understand the dynamics of a spinning wheel, I think it would drive you batty. Also, the uptake on it is not fast, so I think it is made to spin a thinner yarn, which as a beginner is just not where you're going to be at most of the time. So anyway, I'm not going to go on too much. That was my opinion, and I would love for other people to comment, because I know a lot of you have different e-spinners, so please feel free to flood the comments with your favorite, what you have. Here's my other thought on it. As a beginner, I would recommend starting on a standard spinning wheel. And when I was talking to other spinners, the reason we all kind of, I don't know if all of us, but you know, it was a small group. So we all kind of were on the same page with starting with a spinning wheel. Two main reasons. One is that when you are on an e-spinner, and I'll show you in the video, you have to stop and start. There's no slowing your treadling down to fix something or to recalibrate or whatever you have to do. There's no slowing down. You're either on or you're off on it. Now you can control the speed, but if you need to fix something, especially as a beginner, you're going to have to turn the machine off, take your hands off of stuff to make that happen most likely, and then fix and then turn the machine back on. Naturally, when you are spinning on a spinning wheel, you will learn to slow your feet down. And then you kind of fix something and then you can keep going. You don't have to think, It's not like stop, start. So that's one reason I would recommend starting on a standard spinning wheel. The second reason, and we kind of talked about this as a group, but there is a natural rhythm that goes with hand spinning. And you don't get that in the same way because you're not treadling on an e-spinner. It's a super basic thing. Again, I'm not saying do, don't, whatever. I'm just giving you my opinion of my opinion on it, right? And it's okay. And I know some people just can't get the treadling and then absolutely do an e-spinner. But I would start on a standard wheel. Get that rhythm, because there is 100% a rhythm that goes with a wheel and spinning in your hands. And while it takes practice and patience to get there, it is, for me, a big part of the connection. You don't get that. In the same way, you're going to have a connection, obviously. You're still going to love it. But there is a rhythm that you just can't get in the same way if you don't have that foot pedal movement. So there you go. I recommend it, but, and then if you're going to start an e-spinner, I gave you some recommendations, and I will put notes, links to everything in the show notes. For all the e-spinners that I mentioned, I will put show notes. So, okay, woo, enough of me talking. Let's go watch some videos, and then I will come back and say goodbye. Okay, see you in a minute.
Okay, we are in my studio at home. And first, I just gotta say, I was editing videos last night to get this up, and there were quite a few times in my cleaning the Carter that I needed to say, that's what she said, as I was editing it. So for those like three spots in the Carter cleaning section, that's what she said. So, okay, moving on. Okay, so I have got in front of us two electric spinning wheels. Okay, so we have got the Daedalus Starling, and we have got the Dreaming Robots. It's the Nano 2, I believe. You can see just in size-wise how tiny this one is. Still packs a punch on how much fiber it will hold. But first thing, I have an extension cord running from the Nano. So you do have to consider that if you're going to take this places, you will need to invest in the battery. I can't remember how much they are, but that you can get batteries for both of these, so you can be on the go as long as you charge your battery in advance. The Nano, I often need an extension cord for because the cord on it is not very long. The Starling, the cord's a bit longer, and it has on its cord a foot pedal, which I think most of the regular size e-spinners have a foot, so you can stop and start on that, which is a nice perk that the Nano doesn't have. Now, the Nano only runs like $130, so there you go. I think these are in the, you know, I can't remember. I should have looked it up for you all, but you can look. There's links in the show notes to all the wheels that I mentioned, but they get pricey real quick. So things to take into account. As far as just cuteness, so this one has a little orifice hook that magnetizes there. The Starling has an orifice hook that magnetizes to the back, which we're going to use. The Starling is interesting in, so there's little pieces on the Starling that are a little, I probably would be easier to use this, that are made of, I think, just 3D printed. So they're a little bit more fragile. The bobbins, I think, can break more easily, that sort of thing. But this, the component as a whole is made of super industrial strength stuff, which is why I love it so much, because the little pieces are easy to replace. The bobbins are not too expensive. It is the spinning wheel as a whole. This one, if you drop it, you're going to be in trouble. So this is a little more finicky. I have found that like some of the screws are a little more finicky, and it does want to spin. You can kind of see the if you can see, I'm spinning a lot thinner on the Nano than on the Starling. And I think the Nano in general wants to spin a thinner yarn because it's a little bit slower. And so you're going to get a thinner yarn from that naturally. And as a beginner, that's just not where you want to be. So I would, that's why I recommended this over. And it's why I would say, don't get this. Get any of the other wheels I mentioned, a full size, because it's just going to be a little easier as a beginner. But other than that, they are pretty standard. The Starling has a speed control here. So this is the equivalent of how you're treadling. And this, the speed control is here. And then the other control is the Scotch tension, which on the Nano is this. And this is where I've had, and I know some friends have had to replace some screws and stuff on this Scotch tension. There's a little Scotch tension band here. It is very inexpensive. I think I ordered a new band for right here, and they sent a whole kit, and it was $12. So no big deal. Scotch tension for the Starling is this cord running here, and you can see that. And then they have their on-off switches. This is on here, you can obviously spin one way or the other. So that's kind of the comparison as far as size. I think the Starling fits like 8 ounces on here, which is ginormous. I do not have a wheel that fits 8 ounces, not of mine. This fits, it fits a solid, I would say close to 2 ounces, if not just a little bit under. So they both pack a punch as far as how much you can get onto the bobbin. And I will go ahead, I think that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Really, like I said, I think a full size, if you're going to go e-spinner, a full size one, if you're a beginner, is the way to go. Just spend the extra money or wait until you can find one used, which does not happen very often. This one is great for if you are already a spinner and you want to have something little and fun to spin on. This is a great little wheel, especially for the price. So I'm going to turn one of them on, and they both just have on-off switches, and they're very simple. So there you go. I'll spin for you all for a minute on one of them, and then we'll finish up this episode, shall we? All right, so this little beauty just turns on. I have to crank it fairly far on mine. I don't know if everybody has that, but to get a good turn on it, and maybe I should move the, but it cranks pretty well. Like I said, I do a pretty fine. I did a 2-ply. That was an easy fingering weight last time. I'm going to pull you all back just a little bit, or up, I should say, so you can see a little bit better. If you're new to spinning, you probably want to watch my hands just a little bit, but you can see, so you do have to stop to do anything. But it's a super fun little wheel and it does crank. So, and this is it going pretty fast. It can go a little bit faster, but I still just get a pretty, I think a lot of it, you know, a lot of it has to do with the Scotch tension on it. But all right. So there is that wheel. And then it just turns off like that. You click it off all the way. There is all the different cords you need for if you get a battery. Okay, so here we are at the Starling. It's just gonna have a little button that I switch there so that it spins in the direction I want. And then I'm gonna hit the foot pedal and it will start going. And I have no idea where I left this, but I'm trying to let you see my hands a bit. That's all there is to the Starling. The nice thing about the Starling is, I'm gonna spin this fiber from the other side. Always try the other side if you don't think it's spinning well. So the nice thing about the Starling is that it has this foot pedal. I mean, there's a lot of nice things about the Starling. Now that I'm spinning at it, I'm like, ooh, this is nice. These are just, and the nice thing is they're so good for if you're traveling. I can show you the bag that Maggie has for hers. Everything fits in there. It's great. So please ignore my spinning. I actually was spinning this long draw, so I'll pull this off once I'm done. But I just wanted to, and you can hear how nice and quiet. So there you go. There's kind of my side by side, and I'll show you guys. I'm going to take this off the tripod just so you can see kind of from this angle their sizes. Okay, I hope that was interesting enough for all of you that are thinking about getting an e-spinner or are thinking about learning to hand spin. Okay, I hope you all enjoyed all of those videos. And goodness, I haven't done my fiber, so I hope you all got to see me carting up some of that South Country Chevy. I really do, for myself. I hope that means I got some done. I wanted to mention that before I go, I'm still reading the books I was reading before, so I don't have any updates. I'm not the fastest reader because I tend to read first thing in the morning and then last thing at night. So it just depends where I'm at in life. But I wanted to let you know what I'm watching, which I don't watch a ton of TV, again, because I do watch mainly when I go to my craft room to spin or knit at night. But I did just start Only Murders in the Building. It is on Hulu. So good. Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. And I'm just a few episodes in and I'm already hooked. And I was like, I love
Steve Martin. Anyway, just as a child in the movie Roxanne, I am aging myself for some of you who will have no idea what that movie is, but if you haven't watched it, I'm pretty sure it stands the test of time. Steve Martin, adorable. Anyway, Martin Short and Selena Gomez are amazing in it. Also, it's so, so good. So if you're looking for something new to watch, head over to Hulu and grab that. Okay, I think that's it. We talked about Primeville. We talked about eSpinners. Next time, we're going to dive deep into some wool carding that I'm doing at home. Hopefully, I'll have some mill videos as well. And I think that's it, you all. Don't forget to subscribe, please. If you are interested in my Patreon community, jump over there. There's a link in the show notes. I would love to see you inside there. It's a great way to find some new spinning community, ask questions, share what you're working on, and just chat and hang out. And that's it. So until next week, I actually am headed to Lambtown next week. So I'm definitely going to get videos from there. I'll be on the road on Wednesday. So likely there won't be videos from Lambtown in next week's, but the following week for sure. Thank you all so much for watching. And until next time, stay healthy, be kind to everybody, please. And make so many pretty things until I see you soon. Next week, in fact. All right, take care, everyone. Thank you.